Hello, and welcome to Pro U Podcast, episode number 423, Unconscious Funk. Just recorded it, just came up with that title. I don't even know if that's a real thing, but that's what I came up with. And I tell the story, but I got to the point really peaceful, like, all right, I'm just going to let Nico know, got nothing for Thursday. And it was... I woke up Wednesday morning, I'm like, oh, here it is. This is that thing. And I was unaware of kind of this feeling. I was aware of the feeling, but I hadn't really examined it. And when I kind of stopped and looked at my whole life, everything that was kind of happening, I was like, well, look what time of year it is. Look what's going on. Let's have a little patience. Let's recognize this is not the time to excel, to dominate, to conquer, you know. And it was just, you know, in the past, I would have gone to someone that would have shared the advice I shared with myself, the insight that I shared with myself. But there is a moment that I was pretty amazed by, but was unclear about. And I chatted with my friend Scotty Moe about that, and he came up with a great line. So I really all of a sudden at the end of the day thought, you know what, there are some things that I have to share and I want to get that out because, you know, it's not even Halloween yet. So I'm thinking, I wasn't thinking about the holidays and it doesn't matter. It's that time of year and there's a certain unconscious funk that happens, you know, to a lot of people during this time of year. And I've always done a podcast every year towards the end of the year about this time of year being challenging. And I just kind of put it together a little soon or a little quicker than normal. And I thought, okay, I can tell that's what I'm experiencing. So let me share that. Let me get that out there. So share a cool client story and the rest of it is just kind of my experience. But I'm thinking that there's going to be some people that that can resonate to what I share. So thank you for listening. And I just feel good. I feel really, really good. And I just know that the people I'm working with, I'm helping. And there's value in that. And I would love to help anyone else, especially during this time of year. So a bunch of ways to reach out to me on social media. Holler if you'd like to chat. But thank you for listening and enjoy. So this is kind of a funny story. I sat down Sunday, and I'm like, I don't really have anything to record. I had an opening Tuesday, and I'm like, I don't really have anything to record. And I came to peace with it, going, all right, I'm just going to let Nico know. Hey, we're skipping this Thursday. Cool. Didn't think about it. Tuesday night, I'm like, I got something to say. And I thought, I remembered in the past, and I don't know when, but I did it a few times where I literally sat down and just started talking and had no notes, kind of like, oh, this is the thing I'm going to talk about. And I would finish and it would be close to an hour. And I'm like, I don't know. I really got into the whole note taking. I'm like, okay, now I've got, you know, topics and I can put them in order or I can change the order and I can end. And, you know, and I'm like, I don't know how I just sat down and started talking and and was able to create a whole hour. But hey, maybe the quality wasn't there. So unconscious funk is the thing that popped into my head and became the title potentially. And as I say it out loud now, I'm like, well, what else is it going to be? Because that's kind of what happened. I was like, I could tell there was this underground kind of funk kind of thing a little bit. But there were conscious things that were kind of getting to me. The biggest thing was when my neck went out and I didn't sleep for those two nights. And then I didn't work out, you know, for that week. I know, you know, right before that I had this great workout, I did this big hike, and everything was fine, and I love that feeling. And then, you know, if you don't work out for a week, it's like, oh, just that, you know, not starting over kind of feeling, but, you know, you feel like you lost that momentum. So I knew that was kind of on my mind. And then there's a little dental story. So I kind of was, I don't know, I mean, I was understanding it, but it was, I had this time. And I'm like, well, this is what I'm going to do now. And I bought the book, you know, so now I have my own copy, and I'm going to read, and I'm going to write, and I'm going to meditate. And ever since that week I got hurt, I haven't meditated, tried to meditate or read. And then one day, and I'm fine, I'm not, you know, tripping out or anything, but I'm aware of it. And I could tell that there were days I wanted to just kind of shut down and do nothing, and I really wouldn't think about it, and I would end up getting something done. So the days were kind of going by fine. But it was just last night. I was like, well, look what time of year it is. And I'm like, well, I go, I'm not like doing bad. I mean, every time I'm on the podcast speaking, I believe in my heart, anyone listening will be like, you know, he just sounds better. You know, I know he doesn't have perfect, you know, weeks, days, months, but he's way, 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 way better. But I could tell that there was this, I don't know, I don't want to do that. I don't feel like doing that. It's just a little like, not grumpy, but something kind of like that in a way. And then last night it was this part of me. And, well, look what time of year it is. And I was like, oh, I mean, every end of the year I do a podcast about how tough this time of year is. I just hadn't thought about it this year yet, because everything had been, you know, going so well. But it, like I said, in the past it was kind of this conscious thing going, okay, here's what's coming, this is what's going to happen, da 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 da, and I had it kind of all out of my head. Now I'm way different stuff in my head, bunch of, you know, stuff that's, you know, just in there, locked in, and there, you know, brings the consistency, the peace, and the contentment that I've experienced. But I just know there was one point in my healing early on when I was really aware, like, you have a good day, and you're like, oh my God, is this going to last? And you have a bad day, and you're like, oh my God, is this going to last? Like, you're just hanging on each day, like, is it going to get good? Is it going to stay bad? Where's it going to go? And I remember I was feeling good. And one day, I felt funky, and I was aware that this was just, like, why? Like, there's, I'm, you know, I was kind of doing good for a while, and there was no reason for this feeling. And I actually spoke to someone, and I discovered it was my anniversary. And I'm like, wow, kind of subconsciously, there's these things that are kind of happening that you're kind of aware of, not aware of. And here you are, you know, divorced a year or two, and your anniversary comes around. It's that time, and you're like, oh, yeah, that reminder of that bad thing. But it's not like in the forefront. And I just remember that kind of being a trippy thing, like your body will remember. Like, it has a memory of experiences that are, you know, consistent. And I thought, okay, well, if you look at it, you know, you got hurt, you didn't work out, that's going to have you down a notch. Then you got the dentist thing, so that's going to be a little bit of weight. And there's been things I'm like, well, I'm just not into that. I'm not going to do that. So I've had more time. So here it is, more time. On the surface, on paper, I'm like, still the best I've ever been. Here are the new things I'm working on, not doing them. Why? And I didn't beat myself up. I wasn't dwelling, and I didn't even really care. I just know I don't really want to. And I'm like, I don't want to read in my gun. I'm not going to try meditating. I didn't want to. But then every once in a while, I'd have those moments where I'm like, yeah, but it's you trying to meditate for 5 minutes. That's it. Not you doing it well, not having fun, just trying it for 5 minutes. You have all this time available today. And I'm like, yep, not going to do it. And I don't care, because I know in the past I've always been that way. When I'm not feeling a certain way, I will just not going to do things if it's a choice. But I was questioning. I'm like, but what, you know, I was all into it, and I was, and so it was like this kind of thing where I was like looking at it last night, you know, that distancing. It's like, okay, I get the dentist, I get this, I get that, I get, but, and then just like that, it was like this window opened up and said, well, what time of year is it? I'm like, well, yeah, but I mean, I haven't even thought about like the holidays. You know, it's like October, it's not even Halloween yet. And I'm like, yeah, but it's that time of year when things start happening. You know, people are going to gather for Halloween, you're not. People are going to gather for Thanksgiving, you're not. People are going to gather for Christmas, you're not. People are going to hang out with their friends, you're not. People are going to hang out with their family, you're not. And there was part of me going, look, you got to realize, Tom, that even though you're fine, that's still not like, yay. And it's a reminder, oh, there are people that get together with friends, and there are people that get together with family, because it's a good, positive environment. So would I want that? Sure, that would be fantastic. Do I have that? No. Is that bad? It's like, no, it's okay. But, you know, for, you know, almost 50 years, that human construct of gathering with certain type of people became, you know, a staple. It was like that was what you did. If it's, you know, you're a healthy, happy, you know, healthy, happy person, you know, that's what's going on in your life. You're gathering with friends, family, or, you know, sharing those moments. And I've, you know, transcended, grown past where I'm fine, that I don't do that stuff. But I have to, you know, again, being patient with myself. Podcast, you know, title last episode, it was like, look, right now you don't have to conquer, you don't have to kick ass on everything. I mean, is that neck thing completely gone? No. How are you handling it? Really well. Did you work out yesterday? Yes. How did that go? Great. Did you do a little run this morning? Yes. How's it feeling? Better. Congrats. Worked on a couple wood projects. I'm really excited about one of them. The other one's a little smaller candle holder that I'm going to bring to Santa Paula Trading Company to sell. But this other thing I'm making turned out really cool, and I actually ordered a piece to have made to add to it, which I've never, ever done before, but I'm super excited about that. So it's like what I'm doing, I am at peace with. How much I'm doing, I'm content with. But when there was that little rumbling, I wanted to know what it was, you know, because it was like, well, wait a minute. And, you know, in the past, it used to really trip me out. Like I said, when you go from a good day, you're like, okay, like you just got some air, and the next day you're struggling again. You're like, no, please. So I've been there, and I've done that, you know, the captive of my feelings. But to me, like I said, that was like, okay, I got it. I want to share that. I mean, maybe people are feeling that. You know, on paper, you've been doing better. On paper, you've been doing good choices. But now there's this murmur. There's this hum. There's this noise. There's this weight. There's this concern. There's this stress. There's this anxiety. There's this doubt, fear, whatever it is. And all these other things, time of years, anniversaries, things from the past can push those buttons. So it's like that PTSD thing where all of a sudden you're like, oh, I'm feeling that thing. It's like, what's it from? Like, I have no idea. And it's like, okay, stop. Take a breath. You know, what's going on in your life? And for me, it was like, well, the holidays, you know, just that time of year. I mean, end of October, you got Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's. And I haven't done any of those in years. I mean, I'm kind of tired of counting. I was like, how long has it been since that? How long this and that? But I just, you know, and I'm fine. I don't bum out at all. Like, oh, it's Christmas, and I'm like, no, I'm completely fine. Like, I love that. I do. Like, I'm happy as in any area. If I was like, are you happy about what? Or are you, do you feel? I'm like, yes. I'm happy that I achieved what I achieved, that I'm strong enough to be alone, and I dig it, and I can do it, and I feel like invincible as far as, well, what if you're alone for, I'm like, don't care. Like, I'm good that way. But I have to, you know, accept that you're human, you know, you've had these human constructs for a long time. You know, even if you're better, you're going to feel things. And even if you're fine not being around family and friends and those things, you're still going to think about it this type of year. Or you're going to hear about someone. And it never bums me out when people have great, wonderful stories. But, you know, there is that, you know, you're going to kind of think a little bit. Like if I said, oh, I never think about my family anymore, I'd be lying. I just don't have a feeling about it. You know, it used to be I was in a funk and had this feeling and I couldn't get, you know, out because there was some sort of thing going on with a family member. I was stuck in it. And it was like they could just reach out, touch, and I felt kryptonite. And it was just at any moment it could happen. And it just stayed with me. And it would just bug me. And, you know, again, it was just this whole volatile up and down thing. When, again, when I finally looked at it after a while, I'm like, you know, people either add or take away. And I'm like, when's the last time someone from your family added? Couldn't think of it. Could not think of one moment, one conversation that anyone added to, you know, my life, my experience, or anything. So, again, that's just what I did. But, again, you know, I'm telling people, you break up with someone and you're doing better and it's the first time the holidays roll around and you've been with that person for a long time, you're going to feel that. And you have to be able to kind of grasp, oh, okay, I'm going to feel this. I came up with this great quote, I thought, and I don't know where I was going to put it, but I went, welcome to life. And then a little asterisk, suffering included. Like it wasn't a bad, it was like, you know, batteries included, like a little bit of good noise. You got that presence, like, oh, look, and batteries. I don't have to go get batteries. It's like, welcome to life. Oh, suffering's included. You don't have to search for it. You don't have to go find it yourself. And, you know, it's just kind of the way it is. So I'll get to the story of the dentist, but it was kind of that thing where you start accepting. But that accepting makes things easier. The letting go of things makes it easier. So that's why I'm doing better. There's still a funk. It's way less. And you understand it, which is key. So right after recording the last episode, I looked, it's like, wow, I'm going to the dentist. Yeah, I had like, you know, 10 minutes. So all I tried to do was just quick save the podcast episode, and it wouldn't save, and that's never happened. Like, went up, file, click, go down, save, window didn't pop up. I'm like, click save. I'm like, and then like three times I'm like, okay, it only takes once for the window to pop up, just keep doing it, think it's gonna try, it's gonna happen. I was like, okay. And I'm like, well, let me just delete this project, you know, because I hadn't thrown it away, and I'll just upload it again. So I uploaded it, and, you know, intro, the outro, went to save, window didn't pop up, hit save, window didn't pop, looked at the clock, oh, I gotta go to the dentist. And it was just a little asterisk, like, okay, I'll just deal with it. I got home, so I get in the car and I'm driving, I go to the dentist, and I get in really quick, and the woman that sits down, she's the one that does the deep cleaning with me, and she's like the specialist, and her mother's actually like the head dentist at that location. So mother and daughter work there. There's a few others, but that's who I deal with. So Austin, she asked me, she goes, when did you get your last deep cleaning? And I'm like, I was here 6 months ago. And come to realize that there's a deep cleaning that I got a little over 2 years ago, that you're whatever, for insurance or whatever, you get every 2 years. And she's like, well, check the date of that. I was like, deep. I'm like trying to think. I go, what? I'm like, not remembering it at all. I had blocked it out successfully from my memory. And then her assistant says, oh, it was, I don't know, 2019 or something. She goes, oh, okay. She goes, well, we can do that. She goes, would you like to do it today? And I said, what's that? And she says, you know, we do the deep cleaning. It takes about a half an hour. We do half of your mouth. Then you come back in a week and we do the other half of your mouth. And I was like, oh. And I remember not so much that, but I remember like the next time I came back, I was like all panicky and worried that that event was going to happen. And it was like this lighter version. It takes like 10, 15 minutes. But I completely forgot. And she goes, what, you want to do it today? And my heart didn't freak out. I didn't freak out, but I thought for a second, like, wow, just do it, you know. And then I was like, I was like, you know, I'm mentally kind of prepared for what I was going to do today. And before I could say anything, she goes, I know you. We'll just wait. We'll schedule it next year, February. And I was like, cool. It was just like kind of out of my head. Like the pressure of deciding whatever, because she just took it from me. And I was like, cool. So we went on, did the cleaning. And when it was done, it was a cool moment because I realized right away, it's the best I had ever done at the dentist. I had not asked for one break. I was breathing fine. At one moment, I caught myself going, you know, that's like your body. I mean, they can pull at your mouth. They can do whatever they want, but that's not, you know, like that's not your brain. That's not you. That's not the thing. And I caught myself because now time was passing and I was thinking about something else. And then I was like, wow, I know I'm better in my head. And I had, you know, done some meditating and breathing and stuff. So I was doing a little bit of that. But I was just aware that I wasn't kind of panicking. I was breathing fine. And, you know, the assistant had, you know, a finger and the water thing in there. And the dentist had her finger in there pulling. And then the whatever the drill thing that, it's not a drill, but, you know, the thing, the instrument that cleans your teeth. So there's a bunch of stuff in the mouth. And I'm like, fine. And I was like, and to me, and I even told it to the woman, because they're kind of cool, this mother-daughter. They're just really, really sweet. But I don't know, she made me feel comfortable. And it's like I grabbed her before she walked out. I said, I just want you to know. And, you know, because to me, it's like the only area in my life where I feel vulnerable or scared or, you know. And I've had a really rough time for the past 5-6 years at the dentist. And they've always just been really sweet and really kind. And I said, just thank you for being you. I think you're really, really special. And, you know, I'm feeling better. And that's the best I've done. So, I mean, to me, it was kind of this, okay, let me have one practice one before the, you know, the big one again. And then I was like, well, that was about 10, 15 minutes and I was fine. I mean, so it's, you know, longer and it's not going to be fun. But, you know, they actually shoot your mouth with Novocaine so you can't feel. Because this one, they put like a numbing gel on it. So you can't feel all of it, but you can still kind of feel it. So if I'm, you know, Novocaine'd up, it's like, okay, rock out. I just got to sit there and, you know, chill. And I thought, well, then it's that much longer to get better at meditating. Like there was this thing, and this was during the kind of procedure. Like I was letting my mind go. I was thinking about other things. I mean, it was kind of dental related. And then I'm driving home and I start just like realizing like, okay, that was like, everything's kind of falling into place as far as time. If you let go, you know, it's always that thing where life happens. You're like, well, maybe that worked out for the better. And it's like, well, it did work out that way. So just look for the better of it because it is done. Even if you're like, well, that didn't work out well. It's like, well, don't dwell on that. You got to move forward. So look on the positive. So I get home. And I'm like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to close GarageBand. And I'll just reopen it. So I closed it, reopened it, reloaded it, uploaded it, hit save, and it saved. I wasn't, you know, freaking out, happy. I wasn't, like, super proud of myself or anything. I was like, okay, cool. This is when it happened. This was the moment. And it wasn't enough to kind of have a podcast episode about, but it was enough to share with Scotty Mosier. And then we had a chat about it. He came up with a great line. So this is kind of a cool moment. So I handled the computer thing, handed the dentist thing, wasn't freaking about February, came home. It's the first time I'd left Zen and... I was at the dentist 6 months ago. So not, I mean, 24/7. So it was just weird kind of, you know, walking in and seeing him jump up and down again. Because we haven't done that in a long time. Like, come on, let's get out of here. So I took him to the puppy park. And I get to the puppy park. And at one point, you know, Zen, now we'll walk around for a while. And he'll just lay down and he'll just chill. He just likes to sit there. I'm like, all right. So I sit down next to him. And when I've had moments of meditation, I was kind of had that feeling. I was just really calm. I was really like, I don't want to say in my head or zoning, but it was that kind of state. And this is what I tried to tell Scotty. I go, have you ever felt like you feel when you're meditating, when you're not meditating or something? And then I kind of explained. I said, this is what happened. I said, you know, kind of had this morning, ABC, got to the puppy park. And I'm sitting there in Austin like this one dog walker. Because some of those dog walkers will come with like, you know, 5 to 10 dogs. And it's a whole thing with these dog walkers. When it was two of them weren't getting along and one was yelling, one was kind of arguing with this one. And it was so like them and me. There was this complete distance. Like I wasn't in a puppy park listening to someone yell. I was somewhere else looking at myself sitting at a dog park listening to someone yell. And it's not out of body experience. It's not all weird. I was just sitting there and I was just sitting there going, it's like, it's not like, I was like the Truman Show. I was like, cause it was like something stupid they were arguing about. And I was like, that doesn't even matter. And like, oh, you don't even exist where I exist kind of a thing. Like I was just like that vibrating and I wasn't a part of what was happening in front of me. And that was kind of weird to feel and try to explain. So, Scotty Mosier, always got an answer, this big old brain. He says, consciously turning the volume down while watching reality happen live. And I was like, wow. And he kind of said, he's had, you know, moments like that. And, you know, understood exactly what I was talking about. And then I was like, okay, cool. Because it was kind of trippy for me because it was like, you know, that time kind of stopping thing. So there was another moment where I don't know, it was we had a storm and it was like this huge lightning storm, but there was a lot of wind. And at one point, my TV went offline. And I don't know if it was the same time that my printer went out. But it was one of those days where I kind of woke up with that funk. And I'm like, I just want to, you know, I just want to chill the day, you know, binge some Netflix or something. Kind of like that was the complete feeling. And I had gone to bed, and it says that my TV, it said, was offline or something like that. I'm like, oh, the wind, whatever. I was shutting it off and going, well, it worked before. Like, it just worked before. So I'm thinking it's just, so I wake up and I'm like, I just want to turn the TV on and have it work. And I turn the TV on. It pops right into that window. And I remember the feeling I had. It was like this gripping my chest. It was just this, because it's technical. I have no clue. Like, this was after, but I looked, I have no paperwork or anything. Like, I bought it and it came with, you know, I'm sure some sort of instructions, but, you know, I hung it. I'm like, I'm good. And I'm like, I have nothing. Like, I don't even know, like, what to do or call. So I end up calling Spectrum, and this woman walks me through the whole thing, and she's like, well, your modem is working. We've tested it. Your computer's working. It's your TV. And then she goes, we'll go to the settings. And I'm like, go to the settings. I'm like, I had no idea you could go to the settings on the TV. And it wouldn't move. Like, it was just, you know, stuck on this one window. And I click settings, and it goes to settings. And I slide over, and it's like, you know, go to, you know, your account, and this and that, and internet, not connected, pull yours up, and there. I did, and it connected, and it went on, and it was such a victory, but I was so aware of how much that, you know, because it's like, if it's something, I mean, I'd have no clue, and there's no 100 you know, 1-800-HELP-TOM, you know, number. It's like, I don't have a bunch of nerdy friends. I don't, you know, there's like no one I can really chat to. No one comes over. Hey, can you take a look at this? Hey, can you, I mean, there's like no one that comes around. So when it is, it's like, it's on you, which really sucks because I am just inept at anything, I believe. But then it was like this, I didn't freak out. I just went, okay, call. Okay, listen to the lady. Go here, go there. And I'm like, you know, I had the worst time when I got this TV and setting up everything because I had to, like, I lost all my passwords when I had to buy Microsoft Word. And so it was just this gathering of passwords. And it was just the TV hooking up, setting up process was a complete pain and a headache. So when this happened, it was like, that's almost that PTSD thing. Like, oh, TV problems. And this was the one day where I'm like, I just want to chill. I just want to watch TV. I'm like, you're come on. And all of a sudden, it was just trippy to me how that little roller coaster happened. And then I had something with my printer. And it was the same exact thing. I had to print up my insurance cards. I went and I was like, your printer's not connected. And I'm like, I'm checking. I'm like, it is connected. I'm like, this and that, and going back and forth and doing it. And finally, I get to the point where I take a photo of the insurance cards and then I email it to myself so I can pull it up as a JPEG so I have it on my phone as a picture because I couldn't get my printer to work. And then I can't even remember what it was. And I got that to fix. And with the TV and the printer, it was like the pain of my existence, but man, I felt good. I felt good. So I think I talked about this. I really drew a blank, but I walked into the park by my place and I saw a dude with a dog I had seen a couple days before, said hi. Saying hi to his dog, and this woman walked in with two dogs, and before you know it, I'm speaking to this woman. I think I did share this. And anyways, one of her dogs, she kind of starts telling me it's her son's dog. She was taking care of it, pees on this dude's dog. He kind of says something, like, and he kind of freaks out. And I was like, he just got really mad. And she didn't hear it. Like, she was not picking up on it, not aware of it. And then the dog did it again. And this dude went like to level 10 and was like pissed. And I'm like, dude, just, you know, calm down. And he was like, fuck, went off on me. So I walked out and that bugged me like the whole day. Like, should I have stayed? And I'm like, I kept going, yeah, you won. You avoid conflict is your goal. You walked out. Yay, there's nothing. And I thought, okay, I'm there. And I say this, and he walks up. So then I mean, hypothetical after hypothetical, and I was just crazy aware of how stuck that was in my head. And I thought, look, if you lined up five people you know and you shared that story, would any of those people go, yeah, you should have stayed. Yeah, you should have fought that. You should have hit him. Like, would anybody? And I'm like, well, this is what I did. I just left the park. What would all five of those people say? Way to go. And I'm like, there's not a person alive that would have said, nah, you should have. And you did bad. And wouldn't have said, way to go, congrats. And I'm like, so why am I so stuck on that? And that helps when you're breaking it down and you're asking why. It's just the looking. Just look at yourself. Look at your actions. Question your thoughts. Because this is what I realized. I'm like, you know, the guy, I saw him twice around noon. And I'm like, don't go at noon. Like, you know, you don't have to go. It's like, I can't go to the park and I need to go to the park. And it's like, no. Like, I avoided that park for years. And then it was closed for almost a year and a half. So it's nothing I ever have to do. And originally, all I ever do is in the very early morning with that walk. It'll open around 6, and typically we'll get there, and there's nobody there, and I let Zen walk around. I stretch for a minute before we do our little run. And, you know, that's how, we did that park, and then if I take him to the puppy park, that's, you know, a whole other thing, which is a real, like, dog park. So I was like, just avoid it. I'm like, yeah, but, you know, you're not going there because guy might be. But it's like, well, who cares why you're avoiding him? Like, you know, that part of me is like, I got to stand. I mean, this is me in high school. I got to stand up to the bully because I don't want to walk around with that feeling. And I still kind of got that feeling. I'm like, yeah, but you fight everybody? Like, is that what you want to do? You fight everybody's feeling? Like, what if you just work on getting rid of that feeling? And that's kind of what I tapped into. So I was like, well, you don't walk by that park. Or go to that park around noon. See what happens. As the days pass, the thought of that guy in your mind, how much time he spends in your head, see what happens. And how it was affecting you. In a few days, a week, see how you feel. And it had all dissipated. And I was telling myself, like, watch. It would just be avoid the park. Let time pass, and you realize that's how that feeling goes away. In the minute, yeah, you're probably going to be that way for a long time. That's how you're going to react. That button gets pushed, and you, fight or flight. You know, someone raising your voice, there's your father. You know, there's a bully, stand up. Just, you know, that's just ingrained in me. You know, I don't tell, hey, heart, beat fast. It's all by himself. Like it just has on. And then I got to deal with that. And that's what I'm carrying with me for that. I walk away and then I'm the rest of the day. And but I was like, this time I was like, well, let's see how and why that feeling dissipates, decreases. And that was kind of the rewarding thing. The other thing was, you know, lately, you know, I was like, okay, I'm going to chill on the beach. I don't have this desire to go out there and make the art. Kind of, you know, I think about it. I kind of know what it's partly about. But partly there was just, you know, it's like acting. If someone said, do you want to act in this friend of yours movie? I'd be, yes, I would love to. Do you want to pursue acting? No. Why? Because about 90% of it I don't like. 10% of it is the acting. All the other stuff. So it's kind of where it was the drive was an hour to hour and a half one way. I was going twice a week for almost 2 years, sometimes three. Sometimes you deal with people that aren't really respectful or cool or whatever. And towards the end, I was really hoping to kind of start doing more sand. And when you drive out there, you plan this whole day and you get out there and there's no sand available or there's no stones. It's like, well, how do you get better? How do you practice? How do you get to the next level? And I kind of knew I was thinking about going to that next level, but I knew what it took. I was spending about 3-4 hours there. I'm like, I got to spend 5. So that's an hour, hour and a half there, 5 there, hour, hour and a half home. And that's a day shot, get home, I'm tired, Zen's tired, then it's scramble, 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 get, you know, this done, bath, food, you know, load the photos, do all that, you know, it's exciting checking out the photos, and then I load them, and then I get comments, and then I have to reply, and it was just this, all this stuff, I'm like, okay, but what are you getting from that? And before it filled me, but now it seemed like I was just kept doing things to distract me from what I'm doing now. And I'm not kicking ass on the personal growth thing, but it's like you almost have to stop these other things and slow down. And that's kind of where it was. I go, you've just started slowing things down. It's going to be a minute before you start learning. And that's kind of the second part of what I was going to chat about was this feeling of, okay, I'm going to do something uncomfortable. I'm going to choose to do something uncomfortable. But I'm going to grow from it. But it's going to take time. So I thought, when have I had an uncomfortable moment that I grew from? AA. One of the hardest, most uncomfortable things I've ever done. One of the most rewarding. Zen got hurt. Again, uncomfortable moments where there's like a bad news, bad thing. And you're going, yeah, but I grew. Like, the most I've ever grown in my life was when Zen was hurt and at AA. And those are the first two things I just mentioned. Because they were probably almost the most uncomfortable. you know, not really being a alcoholic, but, you know, being messed up in your head. And your second therapist says, hey, AA is great free therapy. Why don't you do that? And you go. I mean, you're not in a great place. That's not a fun life you're living when that's your conversation. So now looking back, I go, well, spiritual journey, what was that? I mean, I wasn't highly aware of it, but reading that book, he's like, you know, make your life uncomfortable so you're uncomfortable to yourself. And I was like, that's exactly what I did. Everything that I was familiar with, I stopped pursuing. Friends, family, money, career, girl, relationship. Had no idea what I was going to pursue. I just knew what I wasn't going to do, which made my world unfamiliar, which made it uncomfortable. I mean, I completely chose to do that. And I wasn't saying that out loud. Hey, look, I'm choosing uncomfortableness to make myself, I'm choosing unfamiliarity to make myself uncomfortable so I can grow. I wasn't. But when you look back in hindsight, it's exactly what I did. So to me, there was part of me that was like, okay, where's that funk? And, you know, I've got this time and I'm not doing anything. It's like, whoa, 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 whoa. This is exactly what I'd say to clients. And I do. Because you can find these things where you're not excelling at, you're not doing better at, you wish you were better at. And it's like, yay, great to know all that, want all that. But acceptance, letting go, quieting the mind. How's that going? And then it was like this, this is what the podcast is going to be about. You know, it's like, I'm like, look, I am still, right now, the best version of me I've ever been. In lieu of, I haven't tried to meditate, I haven't read an X amount, I haven't gone to the beach. Because all of a sudden I was like, going to try to go to Tahoe again, make another trip. You know, I want to have like this one last good experience. And it just wasn't happening with the you know, my friend there. And I was like, I'm letting go of that. And then I went to Idlewild. I'm like, I'm going to check out the colors in the creek. And the drive was great. The getaway was great. The lake. I go to this Lake Fillmore. That was great. No colors. And I went to the creek I always go to, and it was dry. And I was fine, completely fine with it. But on the way back, I don't know if I'll drive there again. And then about a year ago, I found this antique store in the city of Orange, a city where I used to live. And when I don't know what it was, but there'd be a couple reasons, I mean, for taxes or whatever. But I didn't mind that city. But when I found this antique store, it was really cool. It just had a lot of the stuff I liked. So to me, it was like I got to go to this place where I really liked to look. But I was always buying something. I ain't been in a while. My house was clean. I'm like, I don't need anything. But I was just like, you know, the drive will be cool. I'll walk around, see something. And, you know, I won't spend a bunch of money. And so I went. I walked around the whole store. I didn't buy anything, which kind of tripped me out. But I was like, I don't need that. I don't need that. And I got in the car and I was like, yep, not going like that. And I was fine with it, but I could completely tell, like, oh, that thing you were really into. Yeah, not anymore. And I know I'll get another tattoo, but I kind of started at 52 and kind of ended right before I turned 56. It's like, because I'm like, you know, I've always wanted symmetry. Like, I've got, you know, one on one part of my arm and I saw a spot on the other. I'm like, I got to fill that because I just, how I look at it. But they became symmetrical. And I was never like, oh, I'm going to get, you know, tattoos all over. But now, I don't know, in the last 6 months, I'm like, I haven't really thought about it. And then it was that thing where I was like, you're changing right now. You're completely changing. You're not bummed, but you're just not doing things you used to do because you're preparing to do different things. Some of the things you've kind of started and some of those things you haven't. But now it's that time of year and there's a bunch of going on and you were hurt, you had the dental thing, and be patient with yourself. And that's all it was. And I was like, again, just the last podcast, being patient with yourself. This time of year is that time of when you got to deal with that unconscious funk. you know, again, if you've got the great family and it's rock and roll consistent, then yay, do you. I'm happy for you. I truly, truly am. But if you're divorced, someone's passed away, you're going to be single for the first time, you moved away, you're going to be alone, you had a rough year, you lost someone to COVID, you know, it's now, if there's funk, you enter this time of the year, and if that's different, you're not going to the same functions, you're not gathering with the same people, there's the pressure, there's, you know, shopping's going to be harder because there's less stuff. Because of all the shipping delays, and you know they're gonna run out of stuff, so there's a little bit of the panic stuff right now to get your presents early, and all that stuff right now is starting, and even a little bit earlier because it's been on the news for like a month now about the shipping causing all the shortages. So Christmas is gonna be harder this year, so you better that's been going on for a month already. So if you are wonderful in a wonderful place, you're gonna feel a little bit of stress and panic at this time of year. But I just want to throw out, I am a current lifetime member of someone that will have unconscious funk. And you're not going to just, oh, I'm going to kick that out. But you just become aware of it. And so right now I'm like, well, what are you doing, Tom? What you need to do? You know what I mean? Like, I can look at my life and go, I'm doing everything I need to do. Which does not fill up my day. But then there's the other test. Dealing with that downtime. Not feeling it. Not killing it. Not building. Not, thriving. Just being, okay, I'm a little off. Here's my good. I'm not doing what I wrote down, but look how much I've grown. I'm highly aware how good I am. And how blessed I am. I'm filled with gratitude, but I'm also highly aware of that unconscious funk. And there's going to be days that I might get thrown, that I'm going to have to be patient with myself, and I'm going to have to let go of expectations, let go of my to-do list. And I might not be able to answer certain questions. Like, the dope thing about me lately is like, what's that? I can answer it. Why are you feeling that? This reason. What can you do about that? Stay away from the park. You know, there's like, I got the answers. You know, to me, that's the good, which helps dissipate the funk of the bad. I'm feeling that little bad, and I'm like, why? Oh, it's because of this. Well, there's the distance. There's a separation. I'm vibrating above myself, looking down. Oh, that's how, okay. Well, if you just chill, you don't put any pressure on yourself, I bet by the end of the day you feel better. Felt better. Way to go. So I think I'm ending with this. And it's a fantastic story. I have a client named Madeline, who I've been with a long time, and she recently went on a solo road trip, and she had never done that type of thing to this extent ever before. Drove where she's never been and was alone with her thoughts 95% of the time. And I got to chat with her. We'd meet once a week, and our chats continued while she was on the road. And right away, I didn't tell her this, but I had this feeling. I'm like, she's hit this level now, and I could recognize it. And it was like, she'll never go backwards. Like, gets her good, gets her bad, but she's really understanding that the majority of your life comes down to choices. And she would explain her day or what she was doing or where she was going. And it was, I. I'm going to do this. I want to do this. I've decided to do this. And she could. She was alone. Choosing where to go. Choosing how long to stay. Choosing when to leave. And choosing when to do nothing. And so when she came back, I was interested to see how she was going to be doing. You know, because you get home and it's like, oh, work and stress and all the stuff. And you just, oh, that peace and serenity I felt. And it hadn't left her. And I wrote this note down. I said, Madeline's success. Now, she's not finished, as I am not finished, nor are you finished, or will you ever be finished working on yourself. But she had definitely hit this place, because she came home, and one of the things she mentioned to me was, boy, I got a lot of stuff. And over the last couple of weeks when we've chatted, she's singing to the choir. Like, I see so many similarities now of the path I was on. And I've always said this, like, I feel like I'm training someone. We go on a hike and I get up 3 hours before them and I leave and I'm in the woods and I'm walking and I get to the bridge. The sign says left and I find out that's bad. And I'm like, okay, when you get to the bridge, just go right. I'm not bragging. I'm not saying I'm better than you, smarter than you, anything. I'm just saying, in my experience, when I got to the bridge, this is what I did, so I'm sharing that with you. But seeing someone kind of click, check the same boxes you did, you know, kind of making things about her, kind of kicking things out of her head, really holding on to gratitude, and having this kind of shift where you look at things a little bit differently and then you start wondering why you're doing the things you're doing or why you have the things you have or why you have how much you have or whatever. And it was so rewarding. I mean, I don't have a bunch of clients, but I love them all and their journeys affect me. And it's great to be tied into someone's journey and then they reach these moments. And I shared that with her. I don't think that you will ever go backwards again. Like, that's the thing about me. I don't think I've gone backwards in, you know, since 2020. So we're almost 2 years of me not going backwards. And that's the best thing in the world. There's dips. There's bad days. There's mistakes. And there's unconscious funk. But she can see what I can see. And that's the dope thing. And that's the success. So thank you, Madeline, for being you. I'm very, very proud of you. So if any of you listeners, you know, just need to chat, want to ask a question, I mean, you don't have to pay anything. I mean, we can chat for free. And you know what I mean? There's a bunch of things to do because I know how hard that first step is. But me being the best I've ever been and my clients being the best they've ever been, there's value in that. So it's a little bit easier to take that kind of scary jump if I think someone's got consistency, a verbal documentation of their 6.5 year journey, and have clients that prove that what he's doing and sharing, the Kool-Aid they're drinking, is working. Come to my well by the water I sell. And it is for free. Thank you, thank you, thank you for listening, for being you. Holler at me if you want to chat, want some help, want to chat about how I can help. I would love to chat with you. But just know that there's going to be some unconscious funk coming for some of you. Just be prepared. It's okay. You're okay. And you are worth it. You're here. Let's begin to control that which we can. Seated on the floor, eyes closed, neutral neck, shoulders over the hips, navel tucked into the spine. We'll draw the inhale through the nose, slowing it down, elongating it. We'll allow the exhale out the mouth, slowing it down and elongating it. We will stay focused on our breath, keep our mind and body connected. Do that to the best of your ability. For 180 seconds, anything enters your mind, kindly, calmly ask it to leave. Return to your breath. I will let you know when time is up. You may begin now. Congratulations. You know, I'm saying it all the time, little things done consistently during the pro-you moment. But that's how you prepare for things. That's how you grow. That's how you get better. But realizing that, knowing it and accepting it, that's the key. It's that peaceful journey, you liking you along the path you're walking without a whole lot of concern how others feel about you or the path you're walking. Again, easily stated, much harder to execute. Therefore, we deem ourselves worthy. But it's got to be this balanced effort with clarity and patience, especially when there's unconscious funk going on. So take those moments. Take those breaths. Pause. Ask why. And be kind to yourself. Peace and God bless.